performers scheduled for this year's festival, which provides a variety of music along with poetry and podcasts to result in a unique mix. The sponsoring Seattle Theater Group announced the lineup earlier today, after which time Chief Programming Officer Adam Zaks spoke to KPTZ about exactly what this thing is.
What's up, Azir? Well, we just announced the lineup today and getting a great reaction and feeling pretty good. A lot of the changes will be things we want people to learn about as they arrive, kind of surprise and delight. And other than that, we are focused on, you know, just improving the experience, working on things like parking and ingress and egress and all those fun things. I'd say the lineup this year, we spent a lot of time trying to get just the right secret sauce.
How did this lineup develop? What was the process?
You know, we start working on the lineup actually before the previous year's event plays off. So this has been in the works for maybe a year and a half. You know, due to the pandemic and just the way of the world now, bands are having to plan much further out. This has been in the works for over a year and a half.
So I noticed in the first year you had Japanese Breakfast, and last year you had Wet Leg. And so would it be safe to say that somebody on this year's lineup is going to get really big?
You know, I'd say the breakout band is going to be, or maybe already is, Cigarettes After Sex. People that have seen the lineup so far, they've either never heard of that band or they're completely freaked out and excited about it. They just seem to catch on worldwide, and it's a bit of a throwback, kind of romantic, atmospheric pop sound that I recall from, you know, growing up in the 80s with, you know, maybe groups like New Order and Joy Division, and just a moodier kind of romantic vibe. And the way people learn about music anymore, it's not always the radio. It's certainly not MTV. So it's friends sharing it. And sometimes things just catch fire organically. And I think this group is a great example of that. And it's not just North America. It's worldwide. So I think we just got a little bit lucky with the timing of that booking, because they put their own tour on sale, and it's just blown up. It's massive. So pretty exciting get for a thing this year.
Cigarettes After Sex, one of the headlining groups at this year's Thing Festival. Right now we're talking to Adam Zaks from the Seattle Theater Group about this year's lineup. Yeah, I saw something on Facebook in response to the lineup, and it said age test. How many of these bands do you recognize? So I wanted to get your response to that. And I guess the second part of the question is, who are you trying to get audience-wise?
Well, there was it was intentional to try and broaden the tent, so to speak, and invite younger people into the fold, and so I think that's probably what some people may be responding to. And Cigarettes After Sex is a great example of that, but there are others too. And you know, we want this to be an event ultimately for everybody, and that's tricky to do. But so far, the response has just been, you know, everything we'd hoped for.
And how important is it to be family friendly?
Oh, it's critical. I mean, it's part of the DNA of the event, is that it remains family friendly, and yet at the same time, keep some sort of edge and is relevant in every way. But yeah, the family friendly piece, and I would say also the music discovery aspect are key elements to the whole thing.
Yeah, it's not just music. You have a comedy track and a podcast track. What do these add to the mix?
Well, I was counting last week. I've done over 30 festivals in my life. I think this might be the 30th. And I've just always enjoyed a variety of stuff to do, things to do, to break up the day and to sort of work different parts of the mind. So it's just a value of mine that I'm imposing on this event. But when it works really well. And, the three comedians this year, I'm particularly proud of Jacqueline Novak, Sarah Sherman, and Kate Berlant. I think they're both on the leading edge of sort of a new brand of comedy. And so that's exciting. And on the podcast side, it's a really interesting mix this year. It's Amanda Knox and Ken Jennings and Ione Skye and Ben Lee. It just ought to be interesting, if nothing else.
So is there anybody that you almost got?
There is. And I won't share who it is, but we may have planted a seed for future editions, so I remain hopeful.
Also, notice that your workforce is pretty much volunteer. I'm wondering if this is a vehicle for people in Port Townsend who can't afford tickets. Do they volunteer?
It absolutely is. We aim to be accessible, and yet there's just undeniable realities of the economics of putting on an event like this. So one way to do that is to offer up volunteer opportunities. And we had quite a volunteer turnout last year, and I have a sense that it's going to be.
How about getting people to travel all the way to Port Townsend? Is that ever an issue?
Yeah, I mean, it's a big hurdle for sure. And yet one I feel is worth it just because, Port Townsend is just a beautiful place to visit, and more people need to know about it and discover that it's really not all that hard to get to. And then Fort Worden itself in Port Townsend is one of the most unique sites that I've ever set foot on. So, yes, it's another barrier for people that live outside of the peninsula. But I feel that it's worth it in order to have this event somewhere just totally unique and special.
Yeah, I remember that when you started out, there was a lot of community backlash, and you know how we are. We don't like change here in Port Townsend. It took 2 years to change the mascot on the high school. So how did you head that off? Because I noticed that the second time it was caused less controversy, I guess the question is.
Well, I think the first year there was just a lot of worry about what even is this and what are these people's intentions. So we did spend a lot of time just meeting the community and looking people in the eyes and building trust essentially. And then once the first year happened, people saw it in action and it clicked, like, okay, this is pretty cool and this can be really additive for our area. That's really been it.
So anything you're doing different this year in terms of fitting in the community?
More of the same, just building on those relationships and making incremental changes based on our learnings from the first two editions.
And how many people can attend? What's the upper limit here?
6,500 a day.
Do you always sell out then, or?
It didn't sell out last year. I think it had a lot to do still with the pandemic, and we're seeing across the board ticket sales for all of our other events doing quite well, and some would even say maybe overperforming as sort of a delayed reaction to people who are, are still kind of sitting back and sitting it out, and or just adjusting to reentering society, frankly.
Well, Seattle Theater Group, I just visited your webpage. You have this incredible variety, you know, John Mellencamp to Brett Goldstein kind of stuff. How do you choose who to put on? Who is it? Just profit motivated or culture motivated or what?
There's no straight answer to that, other than to say it's a mix of both the things you mentioned. We have it's a pretty large performing arts organization. It's a nonprofit, and we have over 100 full-time employees. So there's a responsibility that, when someone says profit margin, profit motive, I think of it a little differently. It's keeping the organization healthy and keeping lots of people employed and paying artists well. So that's only one piece of it, of course.
This is KPTC-FM. We are talking to Adam Zaks about this year's Thing programs, Festival.
Wing of the organization that's very robust and very active. And we try to utilize Thing as a way to highlight those programs. And so you'll see a lot of that peppered throughout the lineup as well.
And is Thing profitable?
Not yet. It's profitable emotionally. These things take a while to build, and they're very high risk, and they're very, it's a competitive environment. There's lots of other festivals trying to attract top talent, so there's no easy formula to this, but it feels like we're getting there.
Well, so in terms of the commercial viability of the groups, I mean, I don't think there's anybody on there who you would consider huge to the general public?
There's no household names, so I guess it just depends on the household. But we watch the trajectory of artists very closely all throughout the year, and so we're pretty in touch with what's bubbling up before it's maybe hitting full on mainstream household name status, and we sort of pride ourselves on identifying those artists early and then helping nurture their careers. But it's also just sort of the nature of the music discovery aspect means that it's okay. In fact, it's sort of built into the formula that if you haven't heard of half the lineup, that means you've got a huge opportunity in front of you to discover all these new artists.
That was the Beths, who will be performing at this year's Thing Festival at Fort Worden State Park from August 25th to 27th. Let's get back to talking to Adam Zaks. Okay, and what kind of feedback have the artists given you about playing Thing?
It's become a very attractive play for especially for artists that are on their way up. It's sort of the eclectic nature, the multi-genre nature of it really speaks to them. A lot of the festivals, especially the really big ones, really do aim for those household names because, they're much bigger events with much more at stake. So they really need bankable stars. And this event is smaller and affords the opportunity to sort of lift up emerging artists.
About festivals in general, I'm scrolling through Facebook and there are a lot of them throughout the country, and they seem to be kind of like Thing in the fact that it has one or two big names, but mostly people that are below the radar. Is this a trend that you've started, perhaps? Or
I don't know if it's a trend or if it's just a reflection of the way that culture has shifted. I think we're moving away from less and less huge names that everybody knows, and that's a result of everyone living sort of parallel realities on the internet or however you get your information, which means that there's a path for lots of different artists and lots of different genres and languages to reach an audience and have a career, but it means that there's fewer sort of water cooler acts that everyone knows the name of at least. And to me, that's exciting. 12 and under are free. There's portions of the park that are open to the public still, where you can sort of still hear the music off in the distance. That's unique for festivals. And I want to hammer home the point that, like, and this happened both of the first 2 years, the very first artist on the very first day that went on, which is often a local act or a smaller act with not much name recognition yet, had big crowds already. So I'm actually pretty proud of that. So I want to continue that and sort of make that a part of thing. Like, you show up early, you show up for the first band, and you give them a good crowd, and you'll see the artists light up, and their performances will, you know, some sort of magic happens when the audience shows up in force early and with some energy.
We've been talking to Adam Zaks, the programming officer for the Seattle Theater Group, presenting the Thing Festival that is in Fort Worden State Park from August 25th to 27th. It's a weekend all-ages event. The headliners are Fleet Fox, Lil Yachty, Sylvan Esso, Thundercat, and Cigarettes After Sex. And then there are a number of other acts, musical, podcasts, comedy, all kinds of really cool things. Port Townsend's own Grace Love will appear. For more information about Thing, you should go to Thing Northwest, thingnw.org. Tickets will be available beginning this Friday. There is a 6,500 person capacity for each day. You can get multiple tickets for multiple days, or purchase a ticket for just a single day. I'm Charlie Berman with this special report. Let's end the program with Lil Yachty's Ode to Broccoli.
Ain't no telling where I'm finna be on. Hey, I'm beyond all that fuck shit. Hey,
little mama, would you like to be my sunshine? Nigga, touch my game, we gon' turn this shit to Columbine. Ice on my neck, cost me 10 times 3. $30,000 for a nigga to get free. I just hit Rodeo and I spent like 10 G's. I just did a show and spent the check on my mama. When I go and vacay, I might run out the Bahamas. And I keep like 10 phones, then I'm really never home. All these niggas clones tryna copy what I'm on. Nigga, get your own, tryna pick a nigga bone. Worked to Brother Skip, boy, I had a good day. Metro PCS, trappin' ball, making plays. 50 Shades of Grey, beat that pussy like Hulk Hogan. I know you know my slogan, if it ain't about guap, I'm gone. Niggas hatin' cause I'm chosen, from the concrete I had rolled. Shorty staring at my necklace cause my diamonds really froze. Put that dick up in her pussy, bet she feel it in her toes. I'm a real young nigga from the 6th throwing balls. I'm a real young nigga from the 6th throwing balls. Real young nigga from the 6th throwing balls.
In the middle of the party, bitch, get off me.
Goddamn.
In the cut, I'm rolling up my broccoli.
Goddamn.
Yeah, I know your baby mama fond of me.
Goddamn.
All she wanna do is smoke that broccoli.
Goddamn.
Whisper in my ear, she's tryna leave with me.
Goddamn.
Say that I can get that pussy easily.
Goddamn.
Say that I can hit that shit so greasily.
Goddamn.
I'm a dirty dog, I did it sleazily.
Hey.
Ain't no telling. Why?